When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Bible Curious Podcast. This is your host, Amberly Lyons, and I am so excited about today's episode. We're talking about demons. We are talking about spiritual warfare and attack. We are talking about protection and deliverance. It's going to be so fun, you guys. In general, I want to have more fun on the podcast. We've had to be really serious and, you know, talk about testimonies and all the things, but it's time to have fun. So demons are such a fun topic. This is what really made me the biggest believer. The reason that I knew there was a God, the reason I picked up the Bible was because I saw the devil in the world. I started to see the darkness in Hollywood, in politics, in the media. If you've been a follower of mine for a while, you know that I am deep in all the conspiracies. And I'm not saying conspiracy theories because they're not theories. They are pretty much all true. So this is going to be the best episode. You're going to want to forward this to your New Age friends, okay? If there's something that is going to want them to dive into a Jesus life, this is it. Because they are going to be able to identify with those symptoms of attack. And I'm telling you, when you have steadfastness, when you are wearing the armor of God, when you are in your Bible, when you are in prayer, you have so much more peace. It is wild. It is insane how different I feel on this path than the New Age. And it's funny because in the New Age, I felt like there were so many excuses like, oh, you're just purging. So you're going to have, you know, these symptoms, or, oh, it's a full moon, or, oh, Mercury retrograde, whatever. There are always so many reasons for chaos in our lives. But if we can look at the root cause, it's because we're letting demons in our lives, probably because we're sinning. Probably because we have dabbled in the New Age, or maybe we are not eating the right foods, or maybe we are drinking too much vino. Not gonna lie, sometimes that's me. Hey, like, what's our verdict on wine, guys? It's in the Bible. I think, and we talked about this a little bit on the last episode with Sophie as our guest host. I think a little bit of wine is fine because, you know, they drink it in the Bible, but I don't know. What do you guys think? But obviously losing control, getting drunk is a sin. It's very clearly stated in the Bible. So I want to know what you guys think. Can I like have a couple glasses of wine if I'm not getting blitzed? I just love the taste, you guys. It's so delicious. Anyways, sorry. I feel like since I started this podcast, I have had some spiritual attack, but all from a place of God wanting to strengthen me. It's like he will let them attack you a little bit just to strengthen you. And no, that's not an excuse like the New Agers use, like Mercury retrograde. Because when you apply the laws of the Bible and repeat scripture or do some kind of deliverance, which we'll talk about today, I'm telling you, things are different. It is like an immediate shift. The demons are slayed. there is really this whole supernatural side to the Bible. It's not just this book written by men about other humans. You know, it's so much more than that. It is divinely created. That being said, it has also been tampered with. I will say that. And again, I want us to make sure that we are not coupling the Bible with Christianity and church and religion. They're very different. And this is something I'm going to be deep diving a lot more. And to give an example, I just spoke about this on Instagram the other day, where, like, here's one example. The letter J was not introduced to the Bible, or sorry, was not introduced in the world until, I want to say, 900 AD. So why are we calling him Jesus? Is there another name we should be calling him? I don't have all the answers, but I have a lot of questions. Also, in the Bible, they removed the books of Enoch, and they'll say, oh, it's because they were, you know, found out that they weren't inspired by God. But like, who decided that? It actually says in the Bible, God literally says, don't tamper with the Bible. Do not take anything out. Do not put anything in. Yet we have. So, and if you remember, my biggest awakening moment was when I had a visit from an angel who was sent by Enoch. And Enoch is God's right-hand man, one of the only people in the Bible who ascended to heaven without dying. So listen, I've got to have Enoch's back here. Why did they take him out of the Bible? So we'll be diving into things like that, you guys. This whole supernatural side of the Bible is so good and it is so fun. And there are a couple books that I'm going to suggest. I always do this. I don't have them in front of me, nor do I remember the names. This is what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to go into Amazon and I'm going to look at my ordered books. Okay, so one of them is called The Unseen Realm by Michael S. Heiser. The other one is called They Shall Expel Demons by Derek Prince. These guys are supposedly like OGs. And I will definitely be seeing if they have more books. So The Unseen Realm, I really love because it talks about specific moments in the Bible that are very supernatural, that don't get enough credit for being supernatural, that we've really dumbed down to being human rather than supernatural spirit realm situation. And then They Shall Expel Demons is all about demonic oppression, how we let demons in, how to get them out. And it makes you feel like a badass. You know what? I grew up in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer era. So maybe this is why I'm so into this. Shout out Sarah Michelle Gellar. Also shout out Party of Five. You know, we could go on. But this is, I highly suggest getting those books. I think those are a good place to start. And especially if you haven't read the whole Bible, it's going to give you little tidbits that are going to make you want to read the whole Bible too. So one very supernatural situation in the Bible that has a lot of people questioning a lot of things is the fall of mankind when Eve ate the damn apple. So Earth was supposed to be this Edenic kingdom of beauty, fruitfulness, frolicking in the nude, and Eve was deceived by a serpent and ate the apple so that she would be eating from the tree of knowing the knowledge of good and evil. So if we don't know about evil, if we wouldn't have known about evil, then there would be no evil here, because then that it's in our consciousness. So essentially, Eve kind of brought that into our consciousness, brought the evil into our consciousness. And of course, Adam ate the apple too. And yeah, I mean, Why did they do that? The snake was a demon. And you might be thinking, okay, snakes don't talk. This is crazy. In the unseen realm, they talk about how things kind of get lost in translation in the Bible. And essentially, snakes and demons are kind of one and the same. So essentially, like a being of some kind, a spiritual being, a demon, is what had Eve eat the apple. And it really explained in the book, like the translation and how, you know, that essentially the snake represents a dark spirit. And it really dives into the translations and how that has kind of been swayed. But immediately once she ate the apple, she felt shame. So they immediately realized that they were naked and decided to put clothes on. They felt like they needed to cover themselves. And a lot of people, mostly raised Catholic, associate guilt and shame with God, but that is incorrect. God convicts, the devil condemns. I love that saying, you guys. The devil is who is putting you into shame and condemnation. So they had never felt shame before. They were naked and loving it, naked and thriving. And then they eat the apple and all of a sudden they realize they're naked and they feel shame and they want to cover themselves up. So that is something so supernatural that happened. All of a sudden they knew what evil was because she listened to deception from a demon. Okay. So that was the fall. Essentially, because of all this, we have this evil, this knowingness of evil in us. And that is why we essentially are sinners until we got the Holy Spirit, which is another very supernatural situation, which I've spoken about, of course. When Jesus died, he left the Holy Spirit here with us. And then because he made the ultimate sacrifice, we are now able to have the Holy Spirit within us. And we don't have, you know, just this darkness from Eve. We also have the Holy Spirit. And so our goal in life is to allow the Holy Spirit to lead our lives and not succumb to the demonic deception and the little devil on our shoulder that is telling us to eat the apple and do bad things. So when we hear the concept of surrendering, what we're doing is we're surrendering the natural, innate, sinner, enemy-driven ways that are ingrained in us from the fall. And we are saying, Holy Spirit, take the reins and move through me because you are God's consciousness. You are pure love. You are, you know, that part of me that is God's child. And when we surrender and let that version of us take the lead, and that it's essentially, I'm saying version of us, but it's just God that's within us, then that is when we live in this Edenic state and we can be in the kingdom. So people will say, okay, so did God fail at his plan? I would say not really, because he knew the consequences of giving free will to people. And rather than changing his plan and taking away our free will and being like, okay, you know, Eve ate the apple and I'm going to just change all that and make it seem like it never happened and we'll go back to the way things were. But he gave us free will for a reason. So if he wants us to still have free will, then he can't manipulate the situation. He has instead chosen to let the evil burn themselves to the ground and to let the evil have its turn right now, because obviously there's a lot of darkness going on. But the plan seems to be that the darker the world gets, the more people are turning to God. And so the Holy Spirit is going to shine so brightly in so many people that is when the kingdom can come down to earth. May his kingdom come, his will be done. So now, obviously, there is kind of this war between light and dark, and we spoke about this a lot in Chakra Girl Radio, my old podcast as well, especially surrounding things like conspiracies and all the lies going on in the world. And we can see that there is this spiritual warfare happening. But I believe this is all part of the plan of the kingdom to come to earth, the new earth, the 5D consciousness, whatever you want to call it. I know there's a lot of different names in the new age, but so many people are turning to God. And I had this experience after I had my appendix removed, and I've spoken about this before, where I came out of the deep sleep of being sedated, and I heard a booming male voice saying, "I now renounce the darkness and bring you into the light." And I saw a flash of light, and that is what woke me up. And I believe that Jesus is coming for us one by one, bringing us into the light, making us crave the Holy Spirit, making us crave God. And that is how so many of us are turning to God, so that the kingdom can come and the will can be done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So a question I have is, are the evil people on earth, think of like the Clintons, Fauci, what's Microsoft guy, Bill Gates, like, do they know that they are possessed by demons? Are they like sitting at a round table and being like, this is how we're going to do all these evil things? Or like, are they just so demon possessed and money driven that they don't even see what they're, I don't know. But I've always wondered, like, what exactly is going on? But here's the thing. They say, they as in Christians and biblical scholars, that you cannot be possessed by the devil or a demon if you are a believer and you've asked God, Jesus, into your heart, you've been baptized and you're walking with God. You can definitely be deceived and persuaded, but that you cannot be like full on possessed. Like, this is not The Exorcist. Your head will not be spinning in a circle with projectile vomit, but deception can 100% happen. And in that book, The Unseen Realm, he dives a lot more into this kind of debate about, can Christians, believers be, you know, taken over by demons or be, have like demons within them making decisions for them? I mean, come on. I think that they can. I don't know to what level, but if you're walking with God and in the word of God and have the armor of God on and you are steadfast, then it's going to be a lot harder, a lot freaking harder for these demons to take over anything. So why is steadfastness so important? I want to do a full episode on steadfastness. Actually, I think I've already mapped it out. You guys, I have so many episodes mapped out. It's insane. We have authority. I want us to remember that we have authority. I'm also doing an episode on authority. Goodness gracious. So we have authority over these demons. We can tell them to leave. They do not have consent to be within us if our consciousness recognizes that they're there. And oftentimes there needs to be a repentance as well. Like, we let it in. So that's what I want to get across. You're not just being attacked for no reason. There's something that is you're doing that is letting it in. Oftentimes you're going to be attacked more the more you're scaring them. Like, if you're walking with God and you're bringing people to the light, they're going to want to come for you more. But you're going to have more steadfastness. You're going to be in a deeper connection with God, so they aren't going to be able to get in as much unless you leak them in, which comes from you know, letting your emotions take over too much, being in any kind of sin, like I said, drinking, like there's so many ways that they can come in. And that's why we need to just be so on top of things, okay? So what are demons? The origin of the word, basically all spirits are not God's angels. So spirit and demon they can be synonymous. And I don't know about you, but I'm just not willing to take the gamble and talk to other spirits. In the New Age, there's a lot of talking to other spirits, connecting to other spirits. But it's like, what you don't know. You don't know who they are, what their intentions are. That's why we really just talk to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God. And this is why some of these like New Age practices have me a little bit like eek, like I was opening myself up to all kinds of things. And again, we talked about this a little bit in the last episode. They say that the whole situation of astrology and these other planets and these, you know, Aries, Aquarius, blah, 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 that those are all fallen angels. So when you say things like, I am ruled by Aquarius, I am ruled by the planet Neptune because I'm whatever sign, I don't really remember, but I don't want to be ruled by anything. We don't know, you guys, we do not know what is up with these other spirits. So when we're out there doing all these practices, we really don't know what we are letting in. So one thing to be really careful of as well, because you could be like, no, I channel or I talk to this type of spirit and everything has always been super light and great. But there is always a deception. The devil tells half truths. So they can very much make it seem like something is going to help you. So think of like manifestation, for example, like the New Age concept of manifestation. So you are going to do these practices and these routines and all these things to manifest something. And then you're going to get it. Great. Guess what? It works. I did it for years. Unfortunately, it works. What they don't tell you is that it comes with a cost, and that typically when you are trying to create something on your own, it's a false creation. God is the only creator. So if we're trying to create something on our own, then it's going to come at a cost. It's going to bring some kind of negative impact into our lives, and it's going to bring some kind of hardship, and it's not going to be worth it in the end. And so what that looks like for me is, you know, they deceive us with things like numbers, things we feel we can control. Here's an example. This is one that trips me up, is like calories and pounds and like how to lose a certain amount of weight and how many steps you need and things like that. Can we just remember that God is way more powerful than your Apple Watch telling you what's going to make you lose 5 pounds? Of course, should we be vain and worry about losing 5 pounds? Whatever. That's a different episode. But we have all of these ideas in our head about how something has to happen. And those are not true. So when we listen to the deceptions of these are the things you need to do to make things happen, we're worried about us making something happen. We're trying to control everything, but it's God that is the creator. It's God that is going to make it happen. It's God that has created the plan and path for our lives. And one step at a time, he's going to show us what to do if we're listening. Maybe he's not going to have the entire plan mapped out and we're going to have trust and faith and patience and joy and peace while we're waiting. But that's the game, honey. That is what we need to do. And when we can reconcile that, we can come to terms with the fact that we are not going to be able to make everything we want in our lives happen right now. Like, how greedy, How freaking greedy and entitled are we? Oh my gosh, I see it in myself all the time, all the time. Oh my gosh, I saw something in the Bible today and the line literally said, okay, let me back up. I'm going on vacation to Spain. As you're listening to this, I'm there. And I was having a hissy fit, like a whiny little brat, about my order from Revolve not arriving on time with some clothes that I wanted. I've got enough clothes to go on this trip. I've got beautiful clothes. I have expensive clothes. I'm good. Why is it not enough? Why is it not enough? And so I was having this hissy fit, and then I'm reading my Bible, and I can't remember what chapter I was in, but what was I reading? I can't remember, but there was literally a line that said, you only need one purse. Like, whew, confronting. And, you know, it just really put things into context for me. How much time have I spent worrying about what outfits I'm going to wear on this trip? All those things. That is distraction and deception from the devil saying, if you wear these kind of clothes, if you do this, if you focus on this, then you're going to have the best trip. No, like if you focus on God, you're going to have the best trip. You know, like what did it get me? What did it get me? Stressing out, literally like calling UPS and not being irate, but not being pleasant. Calling Revolve. No, I didn't call them. I WhatsApped them. That's really great customer service having a WhatsApp, by the way. Anyways, I'm like causing this huge fuss about a couple dresses and a skirt and a shirt and some sunscreen that aren't going to be delivered on time. Like, who am I? What is going on? Anyway, so the point is, you will be deceived into thinking things matter that don't. And it can be masked to look like it is from God. Lots of things can be masked to look like they are positives, but they are not, okay? And the world will deceive us, you know, with things like, it's all about how you feel, and as long as you're happy, everything's okay. Like, that's why I can justify really wanting these clothes, you know? But, like, it's not. That's not it. Those things don't matter. Like, I'm being, like, that is deception. That is me being pulled away from time and energy I could have spent on God, connecting to the Holy Spirit, listening to any guidance or lessons that he has for me, studying the Bible, learning more, sharing with you guys. I can't even tell you how many hours I spent thinking about clothes, scrolling through the Revolve catalog and the Zara catalog. Like, it's crazy. If I spent half as much time doing that as I did on God this week, I would be a nun. Like, I would literally be a nun if I spent that much time on this stuff. So it can be, yeah, like the deception starts with our thoughts. It starts with our thoughts. Here's another example. Say you're fasting, which we'll do another episode on. If you're fasting, the deceptive thought can be like, oh, I'm pretty sure you're allowed to still have fruit on a fast. So why don't you just have like a bite of that apple, you know, again with the apple. But that's another idea. It's like these little thoughts that are like, well, it's not that bad. You know, I don't think it actually says that in the Bible. So I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's a sin. So I might as well do it a little, you know, it's like, everything is a gateway. And I mean, they're not dumb. These demons aren't dumb. They know how to slowly trick you into doing something. Okay, so there is a annual conference called IF Gathering. I did not go to it, but I watched some of the replays of the different speeches and speakers. So Jeannie Allen, she's amazing. I'm going to be paraphrasing this, but one thing she said that I loved. So she said, circumstances turn to bitterness, turn to strongholds, then turn to apathy and avoidance, and then apathy turns into sin, and then sin turns into addiction. So the circumstance turns to bitterness, which turns into a stronghold. So that is, you know, that bitterness is, that can be the deception, is making you feel bitter about something instead of seeing it for what it is. And then that can turn into a stronghold and being like, okay, now I'm always bitter about this and now I can't let it go. And then the devil is telling you, don't let it go. And then that turns into apathy or avoidance, or, you know, not wanting to actually deal with the issue. So then again, the devil is going to distract you from actually dealing with the issue. And then that apathy turns to sin because you're trying to distract yourself. And so it's like, oh, well, drink this drink or go do this or go do that so that you're not, you know, thinking about this thing that's that you're avoiding. And then the sin turns to addiction. And it's like, oh, you know, maybe he convinced you to do it. When, and addiction is not necessarily just to a substance. Like it can be to a way of thinking. It can be to a pattern. It can be to, you know, a certain thought pattern. It could be anything. So, you know, he slowly seeps in at all of those different layers to a point where we have completely lost control and we have given our power over to the deceiver. So it doesn't happen overnight.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So how do we slay demons, you guys? I want to like write this out, you guys, in like a little worksheet or something. And like, I will eventually do that, but I'm going to share the steps with you from the book, and they shall expel demons. Okay. So the steps are, first, to personally affirm your faith in Christ. So you say something like, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died for my sins and rose again so that I might be forgiven and receive eternal life. And then the next step is to humble yourself. I renounce all pride and religious self-righteousness and any dignity that does not come from you. I have no claim on your mercy except that you died in my place. So really like humbling yourself and being like, I can't do this without you. Like you are the almighty creator. You have the power to destroy these demons. I am a sinner and I need your help. I just can't do it without you. Then the next step is to confess any known sins. So there will be a list, y'all. I know when I do this, there's always a list. And I will literally write them all down. And confessing them is so powerful. Like you need, like when you confess them, you're basically naming the demon that is in you. And that is taking its power away. And then repent of all sins. So just saying like, I repent of all my sins. I turn away from them and turn to you, Lord, for mercy and forgiveness. I will literally go through each sin and specifically repent for each one. And then forgive all people that are involved. And page turn. The next is to break with the occult and all false religions. So saying something like, I sever all contracts I've ever had with the occult, with false religion, particularly blah, blah, blah. Like you can list them all out. That's definitely powerful to name them. And then say, I commit to myself to get rid of all objects associated with the occult or false religion. And then the next step is to prepare to be released from every curse over your life. So Lord Jesus, I thank you. That you were made a curse. Lord Jesus, I thank you that on the cross you were made a curse that I might be redeemed from every curse and inherit God's blessings. On that basis, I ask you to release me and set me free to receive the deliverance I need. So essentially this is like just stating, hey, I'm ready for you to get rid of these. I know you died for me on the cross, which means I do not have to hang on to these demons, and I'm ready for you to let them go for me. And then take your stand with God. So I take my stand with you, Lord, against all Satan's demons. I submit to you, Lord, and I resist the devil. Amen. And then you speak to the demons specifically. So you say something like, now I speak to any demons that have control over me. So you could say, I speak to the demon of, I don't know, anger. I speak to the demon of jealousy. I speak to the demon of, you know, lack of self-control. And I command you to go from me now in the name of Jesus. I expel you, and be fierce about it. Like, I'm like, you get out. Like, you do not have consent to be here. I may have accidentally let you in, but I am stronger than you. I see you. I know you're here, and you can't be here in the name of Jesus. I am a child of God. You must leave. And I'm like, I get a little sassy with them. And then the next thing is to praise God. Thank God. And, you know, I always say, and when I am expelling them, I'll be like, and you are not allowed to come back. You are not allowed to hang out in my mind, my body, my soul, my house. You're not allowed to touch my dog or my husband or anyone else in this house. You must leave now. Like, get out. So that's what I do. No big deal. Just a big demon slayer over here. So yeah. Buy the book, because it's all written out in the book. But so my other biggest thing is putting on the armor of God. I do this every single day. And interestingly enough, I feel like I was intuitively doing something semi-similar in the New Age. Not really, like, let's not compare the two, because let's be honest, if you're doing it with God, it is way freaking stronger. I mean, it's the only real thing. So putting on the armor of God. If you, there is a whole chapter in the Bible about the armor of God, but I'll just tell you what I do. Actually, I'm going to read it to you guys. Let's be honest. I don't think we've read any scripture yet. Oh my goodness. So we're going to put that on. We're going to read that right now. So Ephesians 6:11-13 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavy places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay, so what it says, hold on, there's more. So the seven pieces of the armor of God. So the next thing that it says, okay, so put on the full armor of God, so blah, blah, blah. Stand firm then. Okay, stand your ground after you, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, you guys. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. You guys, how good is that? Like, how good is that? How empowering is that? So I literally, every single morning, as I'm doing my prayer, one of the things I say is I put up, like, please coat me in the armor of God so that no weapons formed against me will prosper. I say, give me the shoes of the gospel of peace so that I may sing your praise. Give me the belt of truth so that I may know you. Give me the breastplate of righteousness so that I can live right by you. Give me the helmet of salvation so that I can live in your kingdom and ward off all evil. Give me the shield of faith so that I can trust in you completely. And give me the spirit of, or the sword of the Spirit, so that I can cut through any darkness that is presented to me. And I change the wording a little bit every time, but I put on the full armor, baby. And I also do, oh, sorry, that was loud. I also do it for my husband and my dog and whoever else I'm praying for that day. So, okay, we know how to slay demons. We know how to protect ourselves from demons. We know how to, they try to deceive us. So this is why we need to read the Bible. It's why we need to get to know the word, you guys, because we, you know, we need to act righteously, faithfully, truthfully, according to the Spirit. We need to understand what that all means. And there are little things in the Bible that you read them and you're like, oh, dang, I'd be doing that. And I didn't know it was a sin. I didn't know it was bad. So it's very important to read so that we do not let them in. And that's the thing. The words are alive. The Bible is alive. Speaking the words brings you life. When God said, let there be light, he used words to create the earth. If you are reading his word, he is creating life in you. Okay? So get your Bibles, you guys. Okay, speaking of that, a lot of you guys ask me like what Bible to read. So I love the NLV, which is the New Living Translation. And then there's also one that is NIV, I believe, NIV Bible, which is the New International Version. So those are both cute. And then I also am into the King James, New King James, but that is a lot harder to read. But if you, for me, like I read one of the easier ones first, and then it, like for some reason now when I read New King James, it totally sounds like normal English to me for some reason. Like it's like the more you read it, the more you just, it just clicks. So just find one on Amazon. There's lots of study Bibles too, where it'll kind of, you'll read the chapter and then it'll kind of explain it a little bit more underneath. So if you can find a study Bible, then that is super helpful as well. So yay. All right. So you guys, slay the demons. If you guys want to, if you have not asked Jesus and the Holy Spirit to come into your heart, I like, who am I to be ministering this? Like I keep thinking this every time I say this, but I'm just going to do it anyways, because I feel like it's a missed opportunity. If someone is like, I have not asked the Holy Spirit into my, Jesus into my heart, I do not have the Holy Spirit within me, then let's just, real quick, let's just do it. And we're just going to say, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I repent of my sins. I believe that you died for me for my sins. I believe that you paid the ultimate price for my sins. And I thank you for that. I invite you into my heart. I surrender my life to you. Please put the Holy Spirit inside of me so that I can live and walk with the Most High God. I surrender it all to you. Please let me know you. Please guide me to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. We are anointed. All right, guys. This was so fun, y'all. This is my idea of a good time these days, talking about demons and God and all the things, you guys. Who am I? All right. Love you. Mean it. Please follow us on Instagram at Bible Curious Podcast. You can follow me at Amberly Lyons. You can please subscribe to the podcast. It makes a big difference. You know, just in my own happiness, I really like to look at the numbers. And send this to a friend. Send it to a friend, maybe a new age friend who is, dabbling some things that might be a little spiritually scary. You know, yeah, just let's get the word out, guys. Let's be disciples. All right, love you, mean it, and we'll catch you next week. Bye, guys.
Woo!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.